Hello and welcome to Coffeehouse Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. It was Sophie Ridge's turn to interview Boris Johnson this week. She chose to ask the Prime Minister about the impact that his Brexit deal would have on trade between Northern Ireland and Great Britain, after a leaked government document suggested that extra checks would be necessary.
Last month, you told businesses in Northern Ireland that they would face no forms, no checks, no barriers of any kind under your Brexit deal. And you also went on to say that if anyone asked them to fill out a form, they should phone you up personally and you'll direct them to throw that form in the bin. Well, how come then that this government document that was leaked this week says that that's not true, that there will be checks and forms? Were you telling the truth?
Yes, I am. And look at what we say in our manifesto, look what we're going to deliver. The deal that we've done with the EU...
So will there be checks?
No, absolutely not. The deal we've done with the EU is a brilliant deal. And it allows us to do all the things that Brexit was about. So it's about taking back control of our borders, money, laws. But unlike the previous arrangements, it allows the whole of the UK to come out of the EU, including Northern Ireland. And the only checks that there would be if something was coming from GB via Northern Ireland and was going on to the Republic, then there might be checks at the border into Northern Ireland.
So this document is talking about checks both ways.
And that's wrong, because there won't be checks.
So you're saying that this is wrong, the government's own impact assessment is wrong, your Brexit secretary is wrong, all these people are wrong, and you're right.
Yes, because there's no question of there being checks on goods going NIGB or GBNI.
So they are
part of, if you look at what the deal is, we're part of the same customs territory, and it's very clear that there shall be unfettered access between Northern Ireland and the rest of GB.
Ridge also challenged Johnson on his plans for immigration once the UK leaves the EU.
My question is, if you want to see lower immigration
levels,
why are you adopting a system based on the Australian model, which has higher immigration currently than the UK? Madeleine Sumption, a member of the committee put together by the actual government to look into what's happening in Australia, says it's generally seen as a liberal model that would increase migration rather than decrease it.
Well, it depends how you apply it, Sophie. And what we're going to do is the Migration Advisory Committee will tell the government what's happening, and we will take a view about how to control it so that the
migrants... So we have to trust you again?
Well, I've said that what we want to do is bear down on migration, particularly of unskilled workers who have no job to come to. And I think that's what's happened over the last couple of decades or more. You've seen quite a large number of people coming in from the whole of the EU, 580 million population, able to treat the UK as though it's basically part of their own country. And the problem with that is there's been no control at all. And I don't think that that is democratically accountable. You've got to have a system that by which politicians can say to people, well, yes, we are letting people in, but we're doing it in a way that is controlled and checked.
So can you guarantee that numbers will come down?
Yes, I can make sure that numbers will come. Numbers will come down, because we'll be able to control the system in that way.
Ridge finished the interview by asking the Prime Minister about the naughtiest thing he'd ever done.
I think I may sometimes, when I was riding a bicycle every day, which I used to do, I may sometimes have not always obeyed the law about cycling on the pavement. I may sometimes, okay, but I want you to know how firmly and how strongly I disapprove of people who cycle on the pavement. And I think it's wrong, and I feel bad about it, but I might sometimes have scooted up onto the pavement rather than dismounting before.
The naughtiest thing you've ever done is to cycle on the pavement.
It was a very, very careful rubric. What you said was the naughtiest thing that I was prepared to admit.
That isn't terminally physically damaging.
Yeah, I don't think anyway. I strongly disapprove of anybody breaching the law, the laws of the road, and we'll invigilate them very thoroughly if we're lucky enough to be returned with a working majority on Thursday, which is what we need to get Brexit done and move this country forward.
Brexit Party leader Nigel Farage expressed scepticism about Johnson's commitment to reduce immigration.
I just want to start with the interview that we did with Boris Johnson, where he says he wants to see an Australia-style point-based immigration system.
I've heard that before.
Must have been listening to you. You must be delighted.
I've been saying this for years, that we should not be discriminating against people coming from other parts of the world in favour of the European Union, and you do it on a skills base. You also differentiate between settlement and work permits. And yes, you're right, they're beginning to say the same things. The problem is they'll make no real commitment to cut the numbers coming in. And this is the fourth Conservative manifesto in a row promising to reduce numbers.
I mean, he guaranteed that numbers would come down when I sat down with him.
I don't believe him. Come on, this is the same Boris Johnson who twice has publicly called for mass amnesties for illegal immigrants.
I mean, we can have a little look to something else that he told me about immigration in that interview. The Prime Minister saying, I'm a believer in allowing people to come into this country if they have talents and they want to do things and make their lives in the UK and they can contribute to our economy, fantastic, and we've benefited from that.
So how does he square that with calling for amnesties for hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants? Boris Johnson has always been very soft on the immigration issue, but you know what? There's an election on, so tell people what they want to hear.
Farage also said that the Brexit Party wasn't planning on calling it a day anytime soon.
If we end up leaving the EU on January the 31st, what happens to the Brexit Party?
It'll have to reform into the Reform Party. It'll have to campaign to change politics for good, get rid of the House of Lords, change the voting system. So much to do. And again, you'll see on Thursday a turnout much lower than the pundits expect because people have lost faith in politics.
The Reform Party, new name?
Absolutely, I've registered it already.
Andrew Marr asked the Shadow Chancellor, John McDonnell, about the effect that continuing cases of anti-Semitism were having on Labour's hopes for the election.
If you lose this election, this will be part of the reason.
I worry that this has had its effect. And look, we've done everything I think we can possibly do. Mm. We've apologised to the Jewish community. And I repeat
nothing
that,
more you can do.
Well, wait a minute. We've always got to learn lessons. Mm. Of course we have. All political parties. Because it isn't just the Labour Party. I want us to be a shining model. I apologise to the Jewish community for the suffering we've inflicted on them. I say to them we're doing everything possible. We're going to learn more lessons. And we want to be the shining example of anti-racism that the Labour Party should be. And I hope I come out of this now, having in this gone through this horrible, horrible period. We come out of it now, actually showing respect to the Jewish community and tackling this issue and enabling the Labour Party to tackle anti-Semitism in our wider society.
Marr also spoke to Scotland's First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, about what would happen if the SNP found themselves in a hung parliament after the election.
If the SNP holds the balance of power this time next week, we will exercise that responsibility responsibly and constructively and in a way that's in the interests of Scotland, obviously, but the rest of the UK. But I would say again, I lead a minority government in Scotland,
I
and I think
that.
Labour perhaps are not fully understanding what they would need to do
in order to get their
policies implemented, which I'm sure they will want to do.
They know you won't vote with the Conservatives, therefore they know they don't have to worry about you too much.
But they also have to get... we won't put the Conservatives into government, but Labour would then have to get support to get their policies through. I would be offering that support, and I think it would be...
You're saying if you don't get your referendum, it's complete stasis and paralysis in Westminster forever.
It's not just about that. I've just set out a range of policies that we would want to progress. I'm not asking Labour to support Scottish independence. I'm not even asking them to support the idea there should be another independence referendum. I'm making the reasonable request that they respect a principle, which is that if there is a referendum and the timing of that referendum should not be matters for Westminster to determine, they should be matters for the Scottish people and Parliament to determine.
And finally, Security Minister Brandon Lewis sought to set the record straight on the Conservative Party's finances.
And you were party chairman. I ask you, therefore, do you know, has there been Russian money funding the Conservative Party in this campaign?
No, the funding for the Conservative Party comes from people who are declared through the Electoral Commission and are British citizens. And it is quite right that anybody who is a British citizen has the right to play their part in our country's politics and to donate to a political party if they want to.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffeehouse Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And we also have a special offer. You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks in print and online for just £12. And you'll receive a free £20 gift card to spend at Amazon. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/Evening Blend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.